Session number 16717, John Everett, Reel 5.
Mr. Everett, Reel 5. You say the hospital wasn't too bad at all.
No.
Was the food good?
The food was all right, yeah. Very little you got, like, but what they give you, it was good. Well cooked and all that, you know. No complaints there whatsoever.
What kind of treatment did you get for your diphtheria?
Well, I don't know. Well, they were pushing swabs in your throat, clearing your throat and giving you drugs. I don't know what they were giving me, actually, you know what I mean, but...
How long were you there?
Must have been in the hospital about 2 weeks, 3 weeks time. Then I got discharged and I had to go back to the depot. And then they were getting me fit with these other lads, which are they were unknown to me, like, you know what I mean.
Did the hospital have a name or a number of them? Do you remember its title?
Military Hospital in Geneva, Base Depot. It was a military hospital. Quite a big hospital.
So he came out and, of course, you're among strangers.
That's straight here when I come back, yeah. And then there was a staff doing training up and down these sand hills. Well, naturally, I watched somebody called, gone down in weight and everything, but they were building us up. And then they was telling us about my pay book. He said, you had to fasten your pay onto your identity discs because there was that many getting lost. And they got mine. I went for a haircut to the camp. A good haircut. When I come back, my pay book had gone. You know what I mean? I hadn't done what I was supposed to do. And a lot of pay book was gone missing in that camp.
These were stolen?
Stolen, Arabs, yeah, because it was Arabs, barbers and everything, but catching them. And then they used to have to tie then, put a hole in the top bit, and you tie that onto your identity disc. So if you pulled it, you pulled on your neck at the same time. So you had to wear your identity disc all the time, you know. Then I went from there and joined a battalion in the southern sector. That's when I first joined the battalion.
Of the Alamein line?
Yeah. In the front line, that was, went and joined. And I come up with two or three of the lads who were still there, and then I was getting to know what actually happened.
What were they telling you?
Telling me they joined the battalion, and then they got pushed back as far as Mosma through, and all the way back to the Alamein line, what they called the Alamein line then. And they formed up again, and they got sent to the southern sector, and that's when I joined the battalion in the southern sector. D Company or A Company? D Company, I think it was, or A Company, I forget now. And from there...
Who was commanding the battalion now?
I've got it wrong here. We went from the battalion was at Heliopolis. That's where the battalion was when I joined it from this base depot.
That was before they went into the Alamein line.
Before I went to the Alamein line, yes. And we were, there were nothing but storms there, terrible sandstorm. Oh, you couldn't see 100 yards in front of you. And we had,
How did you cope with the sand?
Oh, terrible. It was getting you down, put it that way. Because it was getting in everything. Doesn't matter if you lapped your rifle, because you had to keep that up to standard. If you lapped it in a blanket, it still got in. You know what I mean? It's terrible. And if you fired a few shots, it was jammed. Sand used to trouble us a lot with our weapons. They tried to tell you they didn't, but they did. With our weapons, they did. Any road, while we were there, the Queen Elissi had made a dash without a convoy through the Med. After they got pushed back, they followed him in with reinforcements. And you got pushed. And we had a few of them, and we'd done a few patrols from there, from this camp. I'd been on my first patrol. And I was terrified the first time going on patrol. And I went with a Sergeant Foster. And we got back all right. And it was the Germans that pushed forward a bit. And that's all he wanted to know.
Was this when you'd moved into the front line?
Yeah. No, we were going from this place where we were at Heliopolis, mm-hmm. sending patrols up to the front from here. Follow what I mean? And these lads had just come out. Yeah, and they just come out with their... They got so many drafted to this company, so many to that company. And they'd come out with the Alyssa. She'd made... come through the Med, no escort whatsoever, with reinforcements. Well, that lad, what I've showed you a photo of, he was a good singer. And we used to get, only knew him, say, 48 hours, but he sang one night in there, because we had big marquees in this place, all in the canvas, bivouac marquee. And... he said, "What's he like up there?" And he was a bit, you know, well, I said, "It's like everything else." I said, "If your number's up, you've had it. That's all there is to it." And this Sergeant Foster said, he said, "I'm taking a fighting patrol out tomorrow." And he was one of the lads that had to go, but he said he can have 24 hours in Alex, because we weren't far, Heliopolis, not far from Alex. So I went with him, and he said he'd like a folder to send to his mum. And then we waited an hour or so, and he got them. So I had three, he had three. We shared them, three each. Well, I come back, and I wrote mine out. And I don't know if he can, I don't know if he did do or not. But he, with him going on a fighting patrol, he's allowed to take any folders, anything, to identify with you. Well, I posted mine off, that's how I've still got a photo. Posted one off to my mum. And that's what he wanted one for. Never seen him no more. He never come back. Sergeant Foster didn't come back. None of them come back. So, and somebody told me he got killed as soon as he went in. Somebody else, like, I was making inquiries, you know. Nobody seemed to know.
Do you remember his name?
Don't know even his name. I sent that border all over the Midlands to try and, don't know, with him you only know him short period, and that's the honest truth about that lad. And I'd love, because I said somebody should recognise him, but I believe he belonged to the Leeds area, and I still, up to date, could be still alive. Somebody must know him.
Where were the reinforcements coming from? You said he came from probably the Leeds area. What about the others?
They were all coming from Blighty.
Were you getting a few Welshmen in at all?
Oh, with quite a few Welshmen in, yeah. I don't know what regiment. Some of them was from Borders, I think.
Did they settle down well, coming from, again, from one regiment to another?
Well, actually, you know, you don't ask a person that, you know what I mean, unless he happens to bring it up, I wish I was back, you know, and so on. So, like I did myself when I got posted back to this country, you know what I mean? And after I did that, I was sorry, you know what I mean, after doing it, you know what I mean? But then, after that particular dough, we, was it, I'm not sure now, did I go to the southern sector, or I went on a jock column before I went in a... No, I think I went on a jock column, what they call a big column.
This was before you moved to Southern Sector.
No, what actually had happened, what we got told, Rommel had put a dent in the Alamein line, and the jock column was going there to pushing back. And this jock column, the 9th Battalion was going in. I don't think it's only the 9th going in, I think went in. But I was on that jock column, and that's the first time I was going actually in action. And we got detailed. The South Africans were going to, we were going through the minefield, and they were going to lift the mines up. They lifted the mines up, all right, and just laid them on the top. And we were, you know, we went in on the barrage. We got a good barrage going in, and the South Africans was with us. They were in with us, and we were pinned down. Honestly, it was terrifying. I don't know what kind of gun it was, but naturally it must have been passing. It was the noise, boom, and it was coming along the ground like a ball of fire. So I don't know what kind of gun it was. And we were pinned down, and I was pointing out there was fire come from the left, and that was crossing over. And I said to the lad next to me, I said, let's go and knock him out. He said, stop where you are. I said, we'll put him out of action there, and that's the truth. That's what I said to him. He said, stop where you are. Well, he was pinning us down. Any road, I don't know who it was, shouted forward, and we went forward again. And then after that, I can't describe what it was. It was, well, I don't think anybody knew what was happening. The South Africans suffered terrible there, the South Africans. They were laid about all over, the South African. And the engineers that lifted their mines up, I don't know what happened to them, but instead of dismantling them, they just lifted them to tell you where, you know, and you were going in and out of them. And that made things worse. But I used to be terrified of a minefield. I don't know why. When they said we had to go through a minefield, it was to frighten the life out of me. But anyway, artillery, he pulled back. After he pulled back, we pulled out and went back to Heliopolis. When he went back there, I remember his name, Big Hutchie, Sergeant Hutchie. He looked at me, and I was a nervous wreck. He said, I'm going to send you on LOB. They knew I'd been in hospital. I'm going to send you on LOB, he said. Well, I didn't know what LOB meant. And then one of them said, we said, great, you go to City Bish, just out, you know, on Alex. I was left out of battle.
Before we get to that, what were your feelings going into a fighting, dangerous situation for the first time? How did you feel?
Nervous, frightened, put it that way, frightened. You knew, I'm not what you call religious, but I was praying. I prayed, and I don't think personally, this is my own personal opinion, everybody has some sort of fear, because you don't know the next one is yours. When it started dropping around you, and you're pinned down, you can't get up. If you got up, you're dead. And that, I'd like to know up to the day what type of gun that was, what they were using, because you think it was coming on the ground like a ball of fire.
You saw some of your comrades falling, did you?
Yes, definitely, quite a few of them.
And
so sick, it sickens you, you know what I mean? South Africans, there was one lad holding a South African up in his arms. I remember this was daylight, we were pulling out then. He was holding him. He was dead, like, but he was holding, cradling him, and he was crying. And they were South Africans, you know what I mean? And a lot of people never have much to say about the South African soldiers, like, but that's the only encounter I had with a jock column.
And is a battlefield a noisy place?
What? Shouting ball, you can't hear you. The cordite smell of dead. Well, actually, you could tell, like, you get a bunch of soldiers here and tell them we're going to battle. You can't tell them what it's like. Doesn't matter what you explain until you're actually in it. You can't describe it. Like you see it on film, you see them running. They don't realise what it actually is until you're actually in it. the shell and shell busts all the way around you. And you know what I mean? You don't, honestly, terrifying.
Is it difficult to get up once you go down, once you lie down?
Once you're pinned down, yes, because there's firing, it's ground level. Naturally, once you're down, you're pretty safe.
Is it a feeling that you want to stay there?
Well, it tells you that. Well, this fellow, I would have been, I listened to him. I wanted to go and knock this post out because there were what they called tracer bullets. You could tell they were coming. They might have been 800, might be 1,000, yeah, might have been longer because you couldn't tell, but you know, how far he was. But I wanted him to go with me and knock him out because he was pinning us down. But he told me, stop where you are. Actually, put it this way, he might have saved my life in that particular battle. Then again, to me, like, you look at it the other way, well, if you don't go forward, you're a coward. You know what I mean? That's the way I was looking at it, you know what I mean?
Were the men who either didn't go forward or broke down under the stress of it?
No,
all?
We would actually, you got down because their firepower was that enormous. He knew we were, and he was naturally holding his lines.
When you got out and away from it all, what was your reaction to that?
Oh, nervous wreck. When you were pulling out, it was getting daylight now, but there were still rare shells coming. He was still in the battlefield itself, and when you're seeing different sights, you know, that was at the, well, we were forward, that was this side of you, you know, towards our lines. Shellish, most of these casualties was from his shell fire, you know what I mean? And that was, when you see something like the lad crying, holding his mate that's dead, you know. And he was South Africans, they were. That was what they call a jock column, fighting, big fighting column, not just a patrol. A fighting patrol consists of about 12 at the most. But a jock column would come from two or three, maybe battalion. Our battalion was in. South Africans were in. The South African engineers cleared the minefield. We're going through the minefield to get at him. Well, naturally, he's the leader, you know what I mean?
Had you lost a lot of men? Your own battalion?
I don't think we had many casualties there on that particular battle, you know what I mean? Well, you don't know because of different companies, you know what I mean? The only people you know are your own company or your own platoon. That's why you can't ever tell. You know, battalions under strength, they might have lost 20, 30 of them. You know what I mean? Because
had you got your bayonets out? Are we going in with
bayonets? Oh, fixed bayonets, yeah. The bayonets are out if you come in contact with them, which we didn't. You know, because there was quite a few come forward with their hands up. But I never actually got into combat. We were firing all the time, but you were firing at where their fire was coming from. But when you were pinned down, you were firing. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain what myself, like, I was shattered. You know what I mean? And on another, after that, I was in another. I was on the Alamein battle. After that, after I went on LOB, left out of battle.
Where did you go to for left out?
City Bish.
What was that?
It's what they call a rest camp. And you more or less, you do nothing. Less you, you know what I mean? You go out to Alex if you want to, but you had no money.
Did you get to Alex?
I went to Alex a few times. Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, it's quite a nice place, Alex, itself, except these, you've got your slums there, if you know what I mean. But Alex itself was all right, but very expensive. And he had all these, all the bars, it was mostly German beer they sold. German Pilsen, Brau, Prinz Brau, mostly German beer sold in... And everywhere you went, you had these Egyptian women cadging. Do you want short time, or, you know, like all these other places and all that? And then there was a big tombolo place there in Alex. I forget where it was. And if you won there, you got £100 if you won, but if you win, you got escort back. You know.
Were there a lot of back area people, troops amongst them?
Pardon?
Were there a lot of rear area people amongst the, that were in Alex?
Yeah, quite.
People who were, you know, who were serving in the base all the time?
No, no, there was people on from different regiments. They all got what they call some sort of leave. You know what I mean? If you've been up and you pulled out, you got, or if you're in the front line, you're allowed there, say, look, so many are allowed to go 48 hour day. Because you weren't far from Alex, you know, like, you got what they call, they tried to give you a lesser. Well, like, naturally, myself, I was single, most of the men who were married men with families, you know what I mean? And I went...
How long were you at City Bish?
7 days. 7 days, then I had to go back and join a battalion again. And then we went from there. That's when we went, after we joined the battalion again, that's when we moved to the southern sector, in front of the, what we call two titties, the two big mounds, you know, like, come to Cone. That was in the Quatara Depression, that's where I joined the battalion again there. And
what was it like there?
Well, there we were, right, we were... We were the only ones that was in what you call suicide land. We were the first people, if he attacked, we were the first people he'd contact. And in the night time, they come close, there was a gap for us to send our patrols out and put mines in. Then we were there, right in these trenches, what he dug himself.
Clit trenches?
Yeah, and scattered. And if you walk from your trench, say 400 yards away, you'd be looking, you couldn't find your way back. Everything looked alike, you know. And we had these little bivouacs to keep you in the night, very cold in the night, bitter in the night time, scorching during the day and cold in the night time.
And you lived in these slit trenches and bivouacs?
Lived there, yeah. Watching front off all day long and watching the battles above.
Were you still with D Company?
With D Company, yeah. And that's when we had a lieutenant joined us there from Lieutenant Wilkes. I remember his name because he was very brave to me. He was a very brave fella. That's my opinion of him. And he just come out. He knew he just come out because his legs was white. And we'd been wearing shorts all the time, you know, it doesn't matter if you wouldn't sunburn, your legs weren't white, and this was literally white. He just come out, he joined us, and after he joined us, he was going to take a recce patrol out to find out who was in front of us. And I went out with him, and the same fella I told you about, mentioned him previous, Johnson, what he got me punished in this country. And he'd been made up to a sergeant then, he had, Johnson. And he went out, I went out on about five or six of the lads, I forget now, and tied all our swivels, everything, not a sound, because sound carries in the desert.
It was just a night patrol?
Night, recce, to find out.
Did you black up at all, or?
No, just a bit of camouflage, no, you know what I mean, just... Seen that you know you swivel on your head, you tied everything up, nothing would rattle, just slightly equipped we were. And he was going, it was a lovely night, moonlight night, he's going by the stars. And then again, I said, I was worried, I said, oh, he knows the bloody way. Because we were going to no man's land. We went through the minefield, because there was sentry there. Past him, and then we were out, then we were in what he called no man's land then. And I think we got within about 100 yards, 200 yards of their perimeter. You could see the barbed wires and he could hear them. He could hear them talking. He could hear a sound. And he was satisfied that there were Italians. Easy meat, as far as we were concerned. That's who were in that position. He gave his instructions to his above, the lieutenant. We got back, everybody got back all right. But he must have had further instructions, Lieutenant Wilkes. He was going out the next night. Naturally, he said, no, I said, I want fresh men. So he must have been well trained or whoever he was. He wanted fresh. So we never had to go, but Sergeant Johnson, he went with him. They went out. Morning come. Next day, Sergeant Johnson come back. And then he said what happened. When they got there, this is what the information was passed on. I suppose he will have passed it on to their seniors. He got back and he said when they got there, they were waiting for them. And it wasn't Italians, it was Germans. He said Lieutenant Wilkes was killed straight away, and he said the rest of them was killed. How did he get back? Naturally, you think a lot amongst yourselves, you know, the lads that we went out with Lieutenant Wilkes the night before. But we went to that particular spot after the Alamein battle, and he had been buried there, the Germans, his name was there. Lieutenant Wilkes had been killed. But I don't know about the rest. The rest might have been took, I don't know.
When you move out on patrol, what formation do you take for moving?
You know, like, I'm following you, you're following us. Like, you know.
One behind the other?
It might be either space, say, touching arm space, you know what I mean? You're not allowed to say a word, you know. You think you're going silent world. At least what's going by the stars. Marvellous how we're doing and finally come back to the same spot. Well, I was on that, I was right forward on this, I didn't put the mine, close the mine gap, but I was on this gap house forward with another lad. I just said, do you hear that? He said, no, I never heard out. What's in front? Terry, I was frightened. You don't know if they're coming or patrol. They send patrol the same as us. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder. I'm going to drop dead. It was a Gurkha going out on patrol, Gurkha patrol. All right, Johnny, says, frightened the daylight out of me. And he come from outside. Naturally, you don't expect anybody, but he frightened the daylight out of me. I think they were out of 4th Indian, but the Gurkha tapped me on the shoulder. All right, Johnny.
How far was the enemy away from your front line?
Well, they were that close. When our aircraft used to go and bomb, we had to light petrol fires in the night time. So, say, from here to Sedan, they're, you know, half a mile, somewhere like that. Actually, the distance itself, I couldn't tell you, but that's how close, because you could make a mistake and bomb your own positions. That's how close we were. We used to light petrol fires, burn all night. That's just to say our aircraft knew where they were, just for our aircraft, like, you know what I mean. And you can see, during the daytime, many a dogfight you see above, you know. There was one dogfight, everybody was watching, and he knocked about, I think he knocked three out, and then he come towards our lines, one of our own aircraft, Shark Squadron, the nose was Shark, and he was coming towards our lines, and as he was coming, he was on smoking, and he was coming lower and lower, and he was coming towards the minefield, and everybody says, oh, I hope he clears that minefield, but he didn't. As soon as he landed, boof, they went out for him, on the reckon he was, and he was South African. So I don't know who he was.
Were the enemy positions on a rise or a hill or a flat area?
It was like a coast. You put it that way. You know, a coastline, but it's all sand. You know what I mean? That company over there, you couldn't see them. You knew were there, unless it was somebody'd got up and moved about. It was like you put it in the middle of the ocean. And that's the way it was scattered.
Was it a flat area or was
no,
it a
it was,
valley?
No, it wasn't. It was like what you call a slope, you know. It wasn't what you call flat. But the Quattara Depression, you were sinking in sand there. That's why there would be no tank attack from our area where we were.